So I did a little research. I wanted to find out if it was true that Hallmark created Mother's Day. Try to make money. You know, I know Sweetest Day was made up by Hallmark. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But I did find out. I found on the internet, so it's absolutely true. In the early 20th century, there was a woman named Anne M. Jarvis. She was holding a memorial service for her departed mother, and it was at that service that she realized that her mother had silently labored all of her life in order to provide for her, so she began to campaign for a day to remember and honor mothers. By an act of Congress, the first Mother's Day was celebrated on May 9, 1914. It was upon this event that President Woodrow Wilson declared that the second Sunday each May would be Mother's Day. And thus we rightfully honor and remember our moms. Moms always get to hear the best stories. They get a chance to... And by the way, people sometimes take advantage of how much they love their moms. Just there's something in someone's heart about mom. I saw this story the other day. There was a young man standing at the grocery store checkout line. He noticed an elderly lady in front of him. And as she was unloading her grocery cart, she kept looking up and staring at him. And after a few awkward moments, he asked, "Ma'am, is there a reason you keep staring at me?" And she said, "I'm sorry. It's just that you look exactly like my son who recently died." And the young man replied, "I am so sorry to hear that. Is there anything I can do for you?" And "Yes," she said, "as I leave, if you could just say goodbye, Mother, it would make me feel so much better because I just needed that closure." He said, "I'd be glad to do that for you," he answered. So as she left, he called out, "Goodbye, Mother." And as he was unloading his cart, the bill came to about $150. He said, "How could that be? I only purchased a couple items." And the clerk said, "Well, your mom said that you would pay for her this morning." Don't do that. I heard of a mother who had three notorious kids, none related to this church family. And she was asked, "If you had to do it all over again, would you have children?" And she said, "Sure, but just not these ones." And I also saw this reminder, the joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children have gone to bed. That can be very true, although that doesn't happen early on quite often enough. It is right, it is appropriate to remember moms. Today I want to take advantage to, we have been going through the Gospel of John. I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 17. And John chapter 17 is a rich, rich chapter. It is a chapter we learn much about prayer. We learn much about the mind of Christ. And is really, we recognize it as a prayer of Christ, a prayer to His Heavenly Father about what He had accomplished and wanted to accomplish, and also His prayer for those who were entrusted to His care. And today, as we look at John chapter 17, I want to encourage us to think a little bit in terms of seeing the prayers of those who care. Christ's prayer is this prayer of requests and accomplishments, and then even future requests. And I would encourage us today, as we look at this passage, and we could spend a lot of time on it, but I want to just kind of look at some of the highlights to be reminded of what it is, what were Christ's requests, what were Christ's accomplishments, and what did He make requests to the Father for concerning those that He cared so much for. And I would say that it should be something that we should consider in our prayers, in our requests, and even, I would say, our goals concerning those who have been entrusted to our care. As we said this morning, really in a sense, these parents and these young ones have been entrusted to our care as a church family. And there are those that are entrusted into our care in family and church family and community and our extended family. And while I believe there's definitely an application to moms, I also believe that there's an application to all of us and our responsibilities to care. So I invite you to turn to John chapter 17, and we are going to look at these thoughts that Christ had, His prayers, His requests, and His goals. So let's start. We're going to look at John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven." Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the opportunity to be here together this morning. Lord, we thank You that we have an opportunity to see You and this interaction between your Son Jesus Christ and His Heavenly Father. Lord, may we learn how to pray. May we learn how to see the world around us. May we, Lord, understand what it means to care for those whom You have entrusted to us. Lord, thank You that even we will see here in this chapter that Christ is praying for us. Now, Lord, I would pray that You would challenge us. We thank You for the many gifts that You have given us and so many that have cared for us. Lord, I believe that those who have cared for us according to Your Word would match and echo what we see here in this chapter. May that be true if others were to look at our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ here is about to, and we understand this, He is talking with His disciples. And He has been focusing in on just His interaction with them. He's not doing public ministry anymore. He is now investing into those whom He has called and who God has given to Him, and those who would be His disciples. And we have the betrayer has gone. And so this is kind of a prayer time. And it's an instructive prayer. In fact, Christ will make note of that, that it's a very instructive prayer. Jesus Christ went and prayed all the time. He would go out and pray. But there were often times that He says, I'm saying these things or I'm praying these things out loud so that you may learn. And what we get an opportunity to do is we get to learn about Christ. But we also get to learn about ourselves and understand this interaction and understand the things that Christ prays for here are things that we, as we care for others, can absolutely pray for. So I want to encourage you, we look at verse 1 here. Jesus spoke. These words spake Jesus, and He lifted up His eyes toward heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. There are always those little times that we would say maybe the hour has kind of come. Whether the hour has come, and we understand that Jesus is about to hand off the disciples. They're no longer going to be under His care personally in terms of proximity. He's already told them, I'm going someplace and you can't come. Christ knows He's going to the cross. He knows the challenges that are going to face them. He knows the failures that they are going to face. He knows the struggles that they are going to face. And He's saying, this hour is coming. This is very true in the lives of moms and the lives of those who care. You know, moms, maybe you're thinking about, you know, kindergarten. You know, maybe you remember that first time that you sent them off to school, or maybe it happens again every fall when you put them on the bus or you drop them off and that. There's always these stages where it's like, well, now it's time to go and do this. And maybe there's, you know, when they drive away the first time that they've gotten their license and they go out with a large vehicle that has at least, well, maybe they don't know how to buy gas yet. So maybe they get about 200 miles, maybe. Oh. All right, and then there's college, marriage, and then they've got their own kids and they didn't learn anything from you, which maybe was good or maybe was bad, but they're doing things their own way. And then there's life and all these things. And there's a time here, this is a time where Christ is recognizing, I'm about to really kind of no longer be there holding these guys' hands. And they needed their hands to be held. We know that. It's like, no, we need to do this. No, we need to do this. And He was doing all the heavy lifting. They just kind of moved people around and brought them to Him. And now He's kind of been trying to mold them and say, now you are going to be doing this ministry. Now it's going to be on you. Now you're going to be a bit independent. As a youth pastor, I kind of had a phrase that I'd use when I was at my youth ministry, and that was that it was important for us as a church and also for parents to raise their children to be prepared for independence, but dependent on God. And we wanted to try to challenge them that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you know, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can even do a better job than you, Mom and Dad, can do actually being there holding their hands. In fact, your kids may be saying, Mom and Dad, if I promise to read the Bible, would you just leave me alone? And some of you would say, yes, actually, we would. And Jesus here said, all right, the hour has come. It's about time to pass this off. So He is going to kind of talk about what God is, what has done. And the first thing that He talks about here is, and we're going to see kind of the first set of them is, help me. Now, I know you say, wait, Jesus didn't ask for any help. I agree. What we're talking about is, as Jesus has prayed for these things and made these requests and talked about His accomplishments, I believe that these are things that we can learn as we care for those that God has called us to care for. So when we say, all right, Christ says, I've done this, or please do this, or I've done that, Christ here focuses first, in the first half of this chapter, on Himself. The things that he has done, the things that he has tried to do, the things that he has accomplished. And as we see these things, I think you're going to see there is an opportunity for us to do these things as well. The first thing he talks about is glory. As he always said, the hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This kind of gets repeated again in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Christ here talks about the glory that he receives, but that glory that he always received was only the glory that was worthy of giving God the glory. You see there he's saying, glorify me so that I may glorify you. You know, want to be really spiritual, moms, today. When you get all the credit, well, it's not all the credit you deserve. You deserve more credit than you can get at this little phone call or card or whatever it is, but hopefully your prayer is that God has helped you to give God the glory. We need help in this area because we are all glory hogs. We just want the glory. Say, oh, I don't need the glory. You do want credit, right? If you want credit, you want some glory. Now, maybe big glory. Maybe you're introverted. Say, I don't want it. People leave me alone. That's enough. And they say, maybe that. Then you would say, I deserve some respect. I deserve some credit. I deserve some acknowledgement. I just like it if somebody would actually pay attention to what I'm doing. This sounds like a mother's cry all over again, right? Does anybody even know what happens in the kitchen? My answer is I don't want to know what happens in the kitchen. You know, I'm scared of that place, but I try to get involved, but I still never remember where everything goes. We need help glorifying God. Christ here in verse 1 says something interesting. Glorify me so that I may glorify you. You know? So today, moms, I want to encourage you. Instead of saying, well, it's about time, we deserve more than one day, say, I hope that you will give God the glory as God has enabled me to be here for you. God has given you to me. And God has given me to you. Let God get the glory. And we need help in this area. It's almost like I want to say, God, may I only get the glory that comes from glorifying you. You know, when we labor for the Lord, and when Christ had done his labor for the Lord, he's clear over and over and over again. Everything I do is to bring glory to God. I'll tell you, when that's our mindset, when we're serving the Lord or serving others or taking care of those that we've been charged to care for, or even if you have to take care of someone, that it's your job to care for them. When we do this in a manner of, I'm going to give God the glory for how I do this, that changes things, doesn't it? It changes how I view what I'm doing. It changes how I do the things that God has tasked me with. It also, by the way, changes whether or not I have to care so deeply and so much about whether or not I get acknowledged, because God always sees. And I know for moms, like, thank goodness somebody's seen everything I've done. Well, I don't think you understand. He's seen everything you've done, even when you've done it, you know, whatever it is. God sees everything, and the goal is for us to get the glory. And this is a great prayer. This is a great goal. Moms and all of us, we should pray that we would get the help we need and we would act in a manner that would give God the glory. And I believe when we pray these things, we then should work towards those things. God, help me give you the glory today. Rah, 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 ah! That's not giving God the glory. You have to work. Say, all right, Lord, I need some help here. I don't have the right spirit. Help me to give you the glory. And for all of us, this should be our prayer. God, please help us to give you the glory. As individuals, husbands, wives, kids, parents, grandparents, students, laborers, church family, body of Christ, our prayer should be, God, help us to give you the glory. Help us to work to that end, that you would get all this glory, that you would get that. And verse 5, like I say, said, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It's almost like Christ is saying, may they see you in me. We need help doing this because we want people to see us in us, unless we're doing bad things. Then we hope, well, that's not the real me. But our goal should be that they would see God when they would see Christ in us. Lord, help me give you the glory. Verse 2, he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The second thing that we see Christ referring to, that he accomplished, and I believe that is a good goal and prayer for us, is that God would help us to impact eternity. Christ here says, you gave, thou hast given him, okay, now it's hard because especially the King James says, that thy son may glorify thee, and that thou hast given him, Christ is kind of talking about himself in the third person as he prays here, that thou hast given him, Christ, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. And this is life eternal, and he's going to talk about this. In fact, this gets expanded upon down in verses 9 to 11. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And John's been talking about this and working through this a lot, the complexity of how Christ says, all that are mine are the ones God has given me. And all that are mine, I will receive. And for those of us who are the children of God, we are actually, when we really think about it biblically, we who are children of God are gifts to Christ from the Father. He has given us as believers to Him. And this is that eternal life thought process. So verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. God had given Christ the power over flesh. He had given him eternal life. And so what we have here is this working towards impacting eternity. To impact eternity is a wonderful, amazing thing. It is a great thing that we should ask God. God, will you please don't help me just to impact here, now. Lord, would you please use me to impact eternity? That what we do, as whether it's moms, dads, the list goes on, all of us, whatever God has called us to do, who God has called us to care for, who God has called us to be around, that our thought, our prayer, and the thing that we work towards is that we impact eternity. There are a lot of things we do that don't really impact eternity very much. And there are times that I understand rest and relaxation. I understand. I'm a big fan of being entertained. I'm a big fan of, you know, I have grown up in the area of I really love a large TV or a big movie screen. Okay? I love to be entertained. I just sometimes find myself saying, I would just like to not think for a little while. I'll let that big, huge, flashing set of lights that runs through the brains, the eyeballs, through the synoptics, and all through the brain. And even though my brain's doing one thing, the thing my brain isn't doing is thinking about the world. Just, can I please, just you know, this is how you know this happens, gentlemen. It happens involuntarily. When your wife's talking to you, and as she gets closer to you or talks louder, that you keep pushing the volume up a little louder, a little louder, a little louder. It's a competition to see which volume gets the loudest, you know. I just don't. And while I understand that, there are times that I needed to be impacting eternity and not watching movies and watching TV and just doing nothing. I need to be investing in people's lives. I need to get off my tailbone and go talk to my neighbors. I need to get up on my feet, go spend some time with my wife or with my kids. I need to get up and walk around the block and spend some time praying and interacting with my Lord and Savior. Those are eternity impacting things. But it takes work. It takes purpose. And that's sometimes what prayer is as we pray, Lord, help me to impact eternity. Help me to work towards impacting eternity. There are people that you are going to cross this week that you will either impact their eternity or you will not. How do you want to be used? Moms, I would encourage you to pray and be reminded, by the way. It is very true, moms. You impact eternity in the lives of your kids. And church moms, which is what I have so many church moms. There is an impact for eternity. I had the opportunity to go out to my alma mater and hang out there and watch graduation and that. And a young lady crossed the stage, and her last name was Nichols. And Nichols is a pretty unique name, and I could kind of tell she had the look of a Nichols. I don't know how to explain it. Okay. But I knew the Nichols family. The Nichols family had been a family that had known me up until the age of 10. So luckily for me, this girl had like flaming red hair in the midst of all the mass and people and all that. And I tried, as I was going out, there were other people I was greeting and interacting with and that, and I kind of lost track. So I decided to go find where families were taking pictures. And I came around the corner, and there was Dean and Norma Nichols and their sons Tom and Dean Jr. and Victor Nichols. Now, Dean and Norma Nichols, in fact, probably none of them except for maybe Tom, I had not seen them in literally 35 years. The last time they had seen me was I was about 10, 11 years old when the Lord had called us to another ministry. And you should have seen Norma's face. Okay? Norma was like, she kind of looked me up and down. And she was like, Dave Jr.? This can't be that snot-nosed little brat that ran around the church. And then Tom, who's the boisterous, was like, oh yeah, this is him. This was the terror of First Baptist Church of Cumberland. Tom had taught me in Sunday school. Victor had taught me in Sunday school. Norma had us over and babysat us. And some of my earliest memories are breaking things in her house. Okay? And I got a chance, and they're like, well, and they knew a little bit because of the wonder of Facebook, they kind of knew, but Dean and Norma didn't have Facebook. And Dean, even though he was 30 years older, didn't look like he had aged much. He had just been a wonderful, godly deacon, dairy farmer in our church. And I was standing in front of a family that had poured into my life that I hadn't seen for like 35 years. And the Nichols boys were pretty bad boys. In fact, they were kind of making some sarcastic comments, and I said, listen, whenever I think about the Nichols, I think about you guys being my godly mentors. And they're like, no, no, don't let anybody know that. But they were. And I want you to know something. I remember those times in Sunday school. I remember sitting there and opening up the Word and going through lessons. And I remember them. And I kind of lost it. You know, and just it was like a flood. And this is what it was. It was Dean and Norma. And there was all the boys and all their kids. And then Dean and Norma's grandkids who were all going to Bible college. And they were growing up, and they were very happy to hear me making fun of their parents. And so and it was just a wonderful, blessed time. And I said, I did two things. First of all, I want to greatly apologize for my actions up to and including the age of 10, 11, and 12. I said, I am so glad I get a chance, Dean and Norma, and you guys, to thank you for investing into a snot-nosed little preacher kid. Because God has done some amazing things in my life. And I want that's what impacting eternity is about. That's the goal. Even through the rough. Even when everything is rough. Even when it seems like nothing is going on. Believe me, the longer you serve the Lord, the more you realize that sometimes the investments you make over a long period of time do not pay out. You don't see fruition to a long time down the road. Not a year goes by that I don't interact with another young person that I thought wasn't hearing a word I said. But I get an opportunity to run into them, bump into them, and they talk about how God even used stuff that I didn't think they even heard to impact them for eternity. And this is a great prayer, and this is a great goal. Lord, God, help me to impact eternity. That's what I want to do. That's a great prayer. Verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. A little later on there in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thine thy gavest thee, and they have kept thy word. I think the next thing that Christ talks about that he accomplished was he pointed people to God. So I think that a great thing that Christ is saying, I introduced people to God. You see it there? That they might know thee, the only true God. Verse 16, I have manifested thy name. The word manifested is literally, the root word is to spread wide and made visible. Eternal life starts with knowing. Not just knowledge, but communion with. In fact, the word knowing there is very interesting in verse 3, that they may know thee, the only one true God. It is the most intimate of terms that the Bible uses It actually even uses the term between a husband and wife. Adam knew Eve. It is literally a combining, in the sense that God and Christ, His righteousness is in us and we are in them. And this is a great goal. If you could do nothing else in every person's life that you come across, this should be one of those things. To say, God, will you please allow me the privilege of introducing them to you? It is my great privilege and my great honor to introduce them to you. My aunt and uncle serve a Baptist church out in Ames, Iowa. They serve an international ministry. Iowa State University, the highest percentage of incoming students at Iowa State University right now is from China. Iowa State University really, they train the world in terms of agriculture and in terms of business and that type of thing. And so their ministry there at their church is ministry to, for the most part, non-English speaking Chinese students. They teach them how to drive. Oh, the stories my Uncle Mal has about teaching Chinese students how to drive, how to talk. They have to sometimes go back home to China. So they keep their stuff. They store their stuff for these kids. They feed them like crazy. I mean, literally, my Aunt Judy's making meals like 3 days a week, and her house is full of Chinese students. And they just love bringing them in. And by the way, they understand this. These Chinese students are the leaders of the world in China and the future. There's a reason China's sending them there. There's some that come over just for 1 year to be trained in leading agricultural whole departments and things like that. They had a gentleman come in. He's a little bit older. They said, you know, and everybody was there, and they kind of were doing their opening study, and this man kind of raised hands first time there. He's a pretty high up. He's going to be going back to China this year, and he said, who is this Jesus you were talking about? And I was talking to Mal and Judy, and they were already kind of going, yeah. And Judy said, you know what I got to say? She said, that is the best question in the world, and I am so glad that I get to be the one to tell you about Jesus first. Lord, help us to enter. And this is not just the first time. Parents, we need to help our kids see God, because God is all over, God is everywhere, and God is intimately involved in every aspect of life. To be able to see God in everything that is going on, and I believe this is part of a mom's call and part of a caregiver's call, to make God known, to point people to Jesus Christ, to pray and work towards introducing others to Christ. Moms, I would encourage you to pray that you would be used to point those you care for to God, and to work toward that end, as we all should. See, it's got to be more than a prayer. Got to do something about it. Lord, help me to introduce people to you. And if you never open your mouth, you're not working towards that end. Really good prayer is working towards that end. So then, when you are praying that, and I believe this is part of what prayer is all about. I found this to be true in my life. When I'm praying for people, when I'm praying for opportunities, when I'm praying that, one of my major prayers in my life is, Lord, help me see the opportunities and then open my mouth and get involved in that opportunities. And Lord, if I miss an opportunity, I want to ask forgiveness for that at the end of the day and say, I'm not going to let that happen again, or I'm going to seek that person out. I want the opportunity. And the same has to be true, because we are in survival mode so often. And sometimes the people closest to us, we have to make sure. And the way we do that is we just make sure that we said, you know, did you see what God did there? Do you know what God's doing right now? Do you know what God did in my life? You know, I think that, you know, sometimes it's important. I think it's important for our younger generation to hear what God has done in our lives. And I know, like, oh, here comes that story again. It's a good story. God was doing something. You should hear it again. And you're my son or daughter, so you will listen. But how do we introduce others to Christ? What a great privilege. What a great honor. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He talks about this again in verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are thine. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words. And what Christ starts to talk about here is, he says, I did the work that you gave me. Lord, help me complete my work for you. I don't know what the work is that God has called you to do. But whatever that work is, it's more than just that work. Very often, it's a place. And it's a place that there can be an opportunity. Because every place is a place God has placed you. And when you are, they say, am I in God's will? The answer is, right now you are. So act like it. God puts you there and say, "What God, what are you calling me to do here?" That is Christ's great proclamation. I did what you called me to do. Lord, help me to complete the work. I finished the work which thou gavest to me. In verse 4, that word gavest is not just, here you go, here's your task list. The word is the word to entrust. God has entrusted each of us with a work to do for Him. And many times, God puts us somewhere to do something and we don't do it. We walk our own path. We miss out on the blessings and we only look to ourselves. And to look where God has placed us and the place that He has placed us and say, "All right, God, I want to be able to say at the end of whatever this time is right here, at the end of the kids at home, at the end of my place at this work, at the end of my time here in this school, I want to get that done now. I want to interact in that way." God has always called to this place. Always remind us of this. There was a chapel speaker out of the college I attended, and all the kids were still talking about it. I was talking about that, and he gave the illustration of the man William Borden. William Borden was a millionaire at the age of 16. He was basically an inheritor of the Carnation Milk Institute and that sort of thing, all that whole business and that. He decided he wanted to go into ministry. So he had three things that he kind of wrote throughout his life. And the first thing he said was no reserves. He didn't want the money. He wanted to go into ministry. He went to Yale. That was back when Yale was a ministry training institute. They're not quite that anymore. But he went there and he did that. He started up Bible studies. In fact, what we find out is he had Bible studies that hundreds and eventually thousands attended. And he then decided to go out onto the mission field. And before he even got to the mission field, he developed a spinal meningitis type of disease and he died. And they found that he had written down there no reserves, and he had written no regrets in one of his Bibles. And what the chapel speaker told these college kids is, he said, "Do you realize William Borden never got to the mission field? All he did was go to college. And God used him there." So often we think that we're preparing for the next thing. You know, I'm just preparing, I'm trying to get myself spiritually geared up for what's next. No, right now, God has a work for you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, He's got a work that He's called you to right now. And you don't want to have any regrets. "Man, I wish I would have done that when I was in that position." Where you're at school, where you're at work, whatever your family is, do it. And do God's work. So, it kind of happens in verse 9, but actually verse 13, there's a transition here. Okay? After Christ says, literally, "I have done your work." And moms, I believe a great prayer and a great work is, pray that you would fully complete the tasks God has called you to. And work towards that. And that should be our prayer for all of us. To pray for it and to work towards it. Now verse 13 says, "And now." And what Christ does here is He starts to talk about them. In some areas He's kind of praying for you and me. Jesus then starts this prayer. In the first half of the chapter He talks about some theys and thems, but He's talking about His interaction now. Now, from verse 13 to 26, the word "they" and "them" is used over 20 times. Them, they, them, they, them, they. Now I'm focusing on this. And Jesus' prayer to the Father is actually, we'll see, for us. And I just want to remind you this as you read these verses, because while we're talking about these verses in terms of moms and ourselves and that sort of thing, I do want you to remember that you should ask yourself this question. Is there any prayer Jesus prays that God the Father doesn't answer? I don't think so. I don't believe so. The only one that got close is "take this cup from me," but even Christ knew that wasn't a legitimate prayer, because then He says, "Nevertheless, not my will but thine." So if Christ prays these, believe me, if there's anyone number one on the list of God's going to answer those prayers, it's Jesus. So think about what Jesus is praying here as we kind of see some of these verses. Verse 13, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Jesus' time, as we said, was the ending. He would not be with them. It's going to be over. Jesus is kind of saying, "Hey, this time is ended, so now, God, I need you to do this." And the first thing that He says there is, I pray that they will experience my joy. So what we want to say here is, if we're trying to pray this properly, that they would experience the joy of Christ. Boy, you talk about a great prayer. Wouldn't it be great if that was fulfilled in all of our lives, that we got to experience the joy of Christ? to experience my joy, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That word for joy is a much deeper word than happiness. It actually is one of the definitions of this word is a calm delight. It is something that is received. To have a calm delight. May they have a calm delight that is fulfilled. And that word fulfilled is literally filled up, crammed in, completed, perfected. And Christ here is saying, my prayer is that Christ's calm delight would be completed in us. Now he's talking about his disciples here, but there's an extension there. That the person who we care for, this is what we want to see accomplished in their life. We don't want to see them rich, famous. Maybe don't even want to see them comfortable. We want to see them experience the joy of Christ. And that it will be filled up. They will be filled up with the joy of Christ. Moms, you should pray that those you care for would experience the joy of Christ fulfilled in them and work towards that end. So should all of us. But it's not just the inside. There's also the outside. This we see in verse 14 and 19. And I've given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And Christ here is now going to talk about that they're supposed to be products of the word, not of the world. This is a whole message in of itself, but it's important. He says, I have given them thy word. This is what he says, and what they are to be is they are not to be of the world, but they are to be of the word. Don't be of the world. Of the world, of the word of there is an origin word. I am David Berman of Van Nuys, California. That is my place of origin. I'm a Los Angeles kid, born in the heart of California, heart of Los Angeles, California. It's my complexion, right? I look like a California kid. Gray hair, it's really cool in California right now, trust me. I am of Van Nuys. Well, no, I'm of Niles. Well, I'm of Hal, and actually I'm of, I don't know, what am I of? We are not of this world. I'm not of Van Nuys. That's not my origin. That's not where I belong. We are ambassadors. We are pilgrims. We are not to be of the world. That is not to be our origin. The origin is where all our roots are tied to. I'm not of Van Nuys. All right? I only lived there, I believe, 14 months. No connections whatsoever, just a birth certificate that says Van Nuys, California. Okay, we are not to be tied in, connected to, and rooted and of the world. The balance is in verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's the balance. You can't just leave, but we are to be kept or keep away from the evil. And the evil then, there's a little, either it's the evil one, but in the original language it just seems to be from evil, pain, wicked. The evil one is included in there. Basically, hurtful, harmful, diseased, calamitous, evil, sin. It says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that thou would keep them from the evil and the sin of the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There needs to be a setting apart. Even, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The thing that sets us apart while we are in the world is the word. We have to be in the word. It's the thing that sets us apart. It says, through thy truth. The word through is an instrumental word. The truth is the instrument. And the truth there is it is an absolutely always true no matter what. The definition there says this. Objectively, always, absolutely true in any matter and any consideration. What's true is what's true, and it's always true. Well, so what is true? Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. That is the word logos. It's the same word that was actually used back in verse 14. I have given them thy word. And what we see here is we are to be products of the Word. We need the Word, and we need to help those under our care to be products of the Word. And there's only one way that happens. That means we need to invest in the Word. It's an investment to drag your kids to Sunday school. It's an investment to get up. I understand. And the older they get, why is it they're hard to get up when they're young, and then they're hard to get up when they have a teen after their name, and then they're harder to get up even when they get older than that. And then all of a sudden you turn some age, and then you're up at 4 every morning. I don't know. And then you're spiritual, I guess. But I need to get up. I know you say, well, it's your job. You kind of have to. Well, I understand that. But the way we invest in the Word is we get them where the Word is taught and preached. I don't want to go to church. Of course you don't. That's the place where the Word is going to be taught, and it goes against everything in your sin nature. Now get in there and learn some stuff. Come on. And so we need to pray about that. And we need to pray that those under our care would become products of the Word. And I like the word products because as opposed to products of the world, we have too many young people that are products of the world. In other words, the world is what is transforming them and instrumental in their lives. And the more the world is instrumental in their lives, the less the Word is instrumental in their lives. They need to be products of the Word, not products of the world. Why are so many people in church on Mother's Day? Why is this? Come on, you know the answer. Because Mama wants them at church. Why? Why does Mama want them at church? Now, there's many reasons, all right? One of the reasons they want them at church is because this is the body of Christ and this is where the Word of Christ is taught. And so, Christ here, I want you to look at verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Christ remains set apart unto that so that we can as well. And I think moms should pray that those you care for would be products of the Word and not of the world and work towards that end. And so should all of us. But I've already cheated a little bit. We also have the body. This is what starts to pop up here a little bit. Verse 20, neither I pray these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and me. He's praying for the people that will be saved as a result of the words of the disciples and the apostles. And if you've been through the Romans Road and were saved through that, that is an answer to Christ's prayer. And what he then says here is very interesting. He says that they may be one, verse 21, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now there's been some, actually very recently here, there's been some rumblings in Christianity where one major pastor nationwide said that unity is more important than theology. And there's certain areas of the aspect of the Word of God that you can set aside as long as we're all one in the Spirit. I would say he forgot verse 17. Okay? He starts here and says, you're sanctified by truth, thy word is truth. It is not unity at the expense of truth. It is unity grounded in truth. It is how we are set apart unto God as a body of believers. And so I kind of start on that. Why does Mama want you at church? Because there's such good people there, for the most part. Okay? This is why Mama wants you in church. Because church is the place that we come to believe. It's the place where the people who believe are there, and it's the place to believe. This is the place that is a good thing to be united to. There are way too many bad things to get connected up with and involved in the world around us. The church is not one of those. Now, I know you're like, I've known some bad churches. Trust me, we've been accused of that. I've heard it in the neighborhood. Oh, I went to church way back then. You should have heard what they said to me. Well, that isn't us now, okay? Yeah. Things change, okay? And some of the reasons people did it that way, I understand the reason for it. They didn't go about the right way. And by the way, down the road, there will be people that will be looking at us and say, yeah, they were a little bit off too, but so we understand that. We work through that. But this is the thing. Our job is to be what we saw in John 14. We need to love one another. And this is the right place to be united to. God's people are the right people to be united to. Mama wants you to hang out with Christians because Christians are good people to be united to. They're not going to lie to you. They're not going to drag you down the path of sin because they're sinners. This is where you need to be. We need to experience church body life. Church body life at its best brings love, accountability, care, teaching, preaching, security, stability, a place that is trustworthy and true, and it is a place where God's people speak God's truth and show God's love and God changes people. And that's a good place to be. Even if the music's not quite the way you like it, it's a little bit boring and the preacher preaches long. OK? Can I get an amen? No? My church. We should really say, listen, you should come to my church. My church, they're a little crazy. They're a crazy bunch, but they love the Word. They love me. They're here for me. And I want the next generation and those that we care for to know that my church loves me, cares for me, and is here for me, and will always be here for me. They will not let me slide without speaking up, because that's not love. Love says, that's not right. That's going to be bad. They will speak up and they will stand up, but they are different from, and this is what the church, we are different from anything the world has to offer. No unsaved, ungodly, non-Christian friend offers what the body of Christ offers. Christ says, I want my children to be unified in the body of Christ. Like I said, I saw the Nichols and it was automatically unity. I have been a part of the body of Christ. Verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He said, I want them to be perfect. Completion. This is the place where you are complete. This is the place where we are built up as believers. That the world may know that Christ was sent and Christ loved them. The church is to be a love gift from God, and love Christ as he gave Christ the church. And moms and all of us, we need to pray that those that we care for are part of the body of Christ, universally, salvation, and locally. We need to pray that, and we need to work to that end. Moms, if you got them here today, you keep on them all year. All right? And I said, well, they go somewhere else. That's okay. As long as you preach the Word of God, just get them in church, get them in a body of believers, please. And finally, we see this reminder of security. Verse 24 and 26 is really the wrap-up. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. There's not a prayer that Christ prays that won't be answered. If you ever think you can lose your salvation, I would encourage you to look at these verses. Because Jesus Christ has already prayed that you, as a child of God, he said, God, those who are mine, I want to see them in glory. And God's going to answer that prayer. I will. The will of Christ, which is always the will of the Father, right? That they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This salvation was set before the foundation of the world. You can have a peek at Ephesians 1 concerning that. O righteous Father, the world hath not known me, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast seen me. And I declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Christ prayed for you that as a child of God, you would see heaven and you would see glory. That is a great prayer. Lord, may the ones that you have given under my care see you in glory. May they know their salvation. May they know that eternity. That they may know the Father. Why do we know? How do we know? Because it was declared. I have declared it unto them, thy name. Moms, you should pray for those who you care for that they would see Christ in glory. And you should work to that end, as should all of us. That's a good list of things to pray and work towards. It's a good reminder. Today is a day that we are thankful. Today can be a hard day. I know a couple who's working through adoption right now, and it's not going so well. And I know just from interacting with them, this is a very difficult day for them. They have not been able to have kids, and now they are trying to do that through adoption. And I think as we think about these things, that we should be reminded that God has provided many people in our lives. There are some of you that say, well, I'm not even a mom. If you're a part of this church family, you're a part of what's going on here. You are adopted mom. So I want to read this. I've read it every Mother's Day for a while here. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who may have lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, We appreciate you. To those who have experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or for those even running away, we mourn with you. To those who may have to walk the hard path of infertility with the pokes and prods and tears of disappointment, probably even of today, we walk with you. Please forgive us when we say foolish things. We are not trying to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance in your children, we are here and sit with you. To those who have lost their moms, we grieve with you. To those who have experienced abuse at the hands of your own mom or mother, we acknowledge your experience and the wrongs and damage that sin has done. To those who have lived through driving tests, medical tests, and every testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who may be single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we pray for you as life has not turned out the way you long for it to be, at least not yet. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we are here for you. To those who will have emptier nests this upcoming year, we grieve with you and rejoice with you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, may have placed children up for adoption, we commend you. To those who may be pregnant with new life, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have warriors in our midst. We pray for you, moms and spiritual moms and adopted moms. We appreciate you. We hope that God will continue to work in you to us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be reminded of these things. Lord, I thank you that we can know you. I thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be used by you to impact eternity. So, Lord, I would pray that you would bless all those who have been involved in any type of mothering, spiritual mothering, adoptive mothering, grandmothering, Lord, that have invested into lives of those in this room. Lord, all of us have had those women who have been important in our lives. Lord, may you use us. Lord, may we pray differently this week as a result of your word. And Lord, may we go about the work of this differently as well. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.